And you almost have to treat it like a business. It's like God gave you these kids and they're your job. Like, we can't just walk away. Hey, sisters, welcome to Cultivating Hearts Podcast. We're talking today about priorities and what it looks like to balance all of the responsibilities that we have. This is kind of coming into play this week for me because I'm very close to having this baby. I think we're days away at this point. So,
yeah. So you have to definitely get some rest and not do too much. And that's really hard.
I'm not good at that.
Jenna's very, very bad about doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. That is not my forte. I'm trying. I laid in bed for an extra half hour today.
Impressive. Yeah. Very good.
I don't know that that counts. It was only because Josie was up, like, I don't know, probably for 2 hours in the middle of the night because I think she pulled a muscle in her leg and it was, yeah, we were trying to fix it. We're layering Arnica and she's miserable and crying. And So I did try to sleep in.
Kids, there's always somebody having something going on.
Oh, every night there's somebody that's in my bed, or every once in a while, Ben's like, nobody came in. What happened?
It's like, I don't think anybody really prepares you for the lack of sleep that you're going to experience with
children. No, my gosh. Not a chance. Or what that really feels like to not sleep ever.
So we're going to be starting by talking about priorities today and the great balancing act and what that might have looked like. And we're just going to kind of go back a little bit. And I was just going to have some questions that I have here for Jenna. One of them being, what made you want to be a mom? Did you always have that desire there?
I think for as long as I can remember, I wanted to be a mom. Even when Ben and I were dating, that was kind of like a prerequisite for him before I really wanted to date anybody. I wanted to be sure that they wanted to have a big family because I knew that that's what I wanted. And so when he told me that he wanted 6 or 7 kids, I was like, yes, you're in. I think we can do this. But yeah, I think I've always, I don't know, just kind of had in my mind that that's what I would do.
Mm-hmm. And what did motherhood look like for you? What qualities did you think that you would bring to motherhood?
Well, you know, I think every mom before they're a mom has a picture painted of perfection, of, you know, clean house and cookies made when your kids go off to school and, you know, they're all obedient and your house is not cluttered with toys. And I actually remember telling Ben, I was like, we had a friend who had a kid before us and we went over there and, you know, their house was like filled with bouncy seats and swings and, you know, all these things. And I was like, you know, when we have kids, I do not want all this stuff in my house. I can't handle that much stuff. And it really quickly just takes over. I think my idea of parenthood was probably not all that realistic, but what actually comes your way. But yeah, I think I had this picture in my mind of like, I'm going to have obedient kids that love Jesus and we're going to, you know, have all of these amazing moments together.
Or you'd watch other families where their kids are melting down, like at the store or restaurant.
Right, like, think, that'll never be me.
That's not going to be me, because I'm going to have such great tools of discipline.
I can't tell you how many times I've removed a crying, kicking child from the store. It actually just happened to Ben the other day. He took them all to the store to give me a break, and so that I could take a nap. He needed to run a couple errands. And so he took all the little ones with him. The bigs were gone. And I finally called. I was like, you've been gone a really long time. And he goes, yeah, it's not going so well here. So we're still doing that. But
yeah. And do other people.
Depends on who the person is. Because if you're a parent, you've done it. Have sympathy a little bit. But yeah.
Who were your role models before you got married, you know, just
like parents,
anyone? Yeah. People like friends, parents, who did you look to as a role model, as, you know, how you wanted to follow, you know, maybe their way of parenting.
Yeah. I would say, I mean, it was a little bit different because I think the family that I kind of admired, their mom stayed at home and she was really involved. But they only had two kids. And so that is a little bit different than having a lot of kids, but, but they prioritized taking their kids to church and they were involved in all the things that they did and their kids were, you know, respectful and they enjoyed having extra people come and visit and hang out at their house. And, so I think, yeah, probably them, but, I feel like your answers would be far different than mine. If I turned the questions around on you, Joanna didn't really intend on having kids.
Well, I was the oldest of six kids. And so I did a lot of babysitting and, you know, a lot of things to help my dad out with his business as a contractor. I mowed a lot, cleaned his office. I missed a lot of things. And so I remember thinking, yeah, I don't want kids. I didn't really like babysitting whatsoever. Like, that was torture for me if I had to babysit. Because I already did that. I was already doing that. So there was a lot of years where I was just like, you know what? I'm getting my education. I got my undergrad. Then I went and got my master's degree in counseling. I got married before my last semester of undergrad. And then moved right into grad school. So Chuck and I, my husband and I, moved to Cincinnati. And kids just weren't even on the radar because I was getting my education first, you know.
I think that's the push right now anyways. I mean, you finish school and you're supposed to go get your career in line and figure everything out before you have kids.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And so by the time, you know, we were 16 years into our marriage before we had the boys, which were a surprise, complete surprise, because by the time we did start, when I decided that I wanted children and that we wanted children, it was hard to get pregnant at that point because now, you know.
You're old.
I'm older. My eggs are old. Better chances of having twins when your eggs are old. So I was 37 when I had the boys, and 51 now, and the boys are 13. So, you know, it was later in the game. If I could do it again, I mean, obviously my story is my story, and here I am. You know, if I had kids younger, at a younger age, maybe I wouldn't even have the boys that I have, you know. It's the path I took. At the same time, I wish I had started all of this at a lot younger of an age, because many times what happens is that that mother instinct is there, but we wait too long, and then, you know, our bodies are changing, and then it's harder to get pregnant, as I mentioned. Okay. If I had not had the issues that I had had, I probably would have been ready to have kids at a younger age. But going through grad school, I had a lot of stuff come up, and so there was just a lot to work through. I don't think I would have been a great parent at that time because I had so much to just kind of face and deal with. The thing is, some people don't have that, you know, time. You know, they get pregnant and there they are. And now they're still dealing with trauma, childhood issues, and, you know, they're working them out while they're a parent, which is even harder. Not that I didn't have issues after I had kids.
Yeah.
We always have issues, I think, until we die.
So I think where priorities play into all of this is we maybe have, like, some basic conversations with our spouse or spouse-to-be, like, what we expect parenthood is going to be like. And it's not always realistic. And I don't know that we really know those answers until we start parenting to an extent. Like, I don't know that I even would have known all of the things to talk about
or to
with
think
Ben.
About
yeah,
or like, plan. Yeah.
Right. So there's no aiming when we start talking about all of this stuff. We're all in different places and points of our parenthood and when, you know, just trying to prioritize and get everything in line. But I think that when we don't plan, we have chaos, basically. Yeah.
And you're figuring it out and on the job. You're figuring it out right now.
I think that most parents are waking up every day and kind of winging it. It's like, okay, I'm going to do my best that I can today, and then we're going to go to bed, and we're going to start all over again tomorrow. And if you were in a job where you had a goal that you needed to meet, you would sit down with your team of people, you know, and you'd have a whiteboard and you'd map it all out and you'd decide, you know, what steps needed to be taken, what needs to be done each day, the goals, all of the things that play into you reaching that goal. In the end, there's a game plan in place. And oftentimes we're missing that game plan when we get started with our kids, and we're just kind of going by the seat of our pants.
Yeah, and then you're busy, work priorities, you have all things going on around you, friendships, church activities, just there's a lot going on. So the question we'd like to pose to you is, what was your motive when you became a mother? Did you discuss the topic with your husband or anyone else prior to marriage? And how did you play motherhood out in your mind? Is it, you know, playing out the way that you had hoped for? And if it isn't, what do you think the reasons are that it isn't? If it's not going as planned, you know, how are you responding? Are you struggling with, you know, are you angry, disappointed, sad? Are you almost ready to throw in the towel? Is your idea of motherhood just crushed? Has complete chaos taken over your home? So we want to go back to the beginning. If the landscape that you had painted in your mind prior to motherhood is not looking the way you want it to look, how can we go back with the Lord and have Him help us paint the landscape that He would want for us?
Yeah. Just recently, our church hosted a class that Joanna and I both went to with our husbands. And we created a mission statement for our family and what that looks like. And it took a lot of thought and prayer and a lot of conversation within our house, at least, of what we really prioritized and what we wanted our mission statement to be. And you almost have to treat it like a business. It's like God gave you these kids and they're your job. Like, we can't just walk away. They've been given to you.
They're hard. I screwed them up. Oh, well, I'm out.
Right? Right. We don't get to just walk away. And so having that, I wouldn't say it was forced upon us. We signed up for the class. But having somebody direct that was really eye-opening to us.
It's like, wow, why didn't we have a plan?
You know,
before?
I know. It's like we've been parenting for 17 years. And just now thought, like, oh, a mission statement would be really helpful.
A blueprint for, you know, motherhood, parenthood, our marriage.
Yeah. So I would encourage you to sit down and come up with your priorities. Like, what does that really look like for your family?
Let's restore your hope and dreams, not only for what you once hoped for, but what God wants for you now. And there is a plan. We can have a plan.
Right. I think that when we sit down and we actually prioritize and write out, I mean, I would literally make a list. What are the priorities for our family? When we don't do that and we fail to have priorities, our time gets filled so quickly with everything else, whether that be sports or music or, you know, outside activities, whatever it is. It just drowns out the priorities and you run out of time.
Yeah, like, are we having dinner at the table ever? are we having conversations because we are having a dinner at the table with our kids? Are our kids just busy, 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 just running here and there and their heads are spinning and our heads are spinning and we're trying to tackle all these things? And then our home is really just
a place to sleep.
A place to sleep, yeah.
Yeah.
And not really this safe haven in place
where they know you're available. Yes,
you can have conversations.
Right. So even I would say our biggest priority in our family is to create kids that grow up to be adults that are disciples for the Lord. But really, what does that look like? And so you almost need sub points if you're going to make a game plan of how you're going to get there. What are those sub points? You know, do I prioritize that my kids are loving, that they're kind to one another, that they're great at sharing the gospel? Are they disciplined in what they're doing. I think we have to really spell it out so that we can come up with the action steps needed to even prioritize. Most parents have it in the wrong order, though. They're showing up for every single game that their kid has, or they're, you know, they might even prioritize sports over attending church. And so on Sundays, they're getting up and they're going to sporting events, and they're missing that time together.
And that's hard because, you know, you're practicing sometimes on Wednesday nights when Bible study is, and you're having games or traveling on Sunday, and to stand out and say and put a boundary there, you know, might make you feel awkward, or, you know, like you're not going to fit in, or...
It is hard. I think sports is the hardest of all to balance.
Well, yeah, and then if you have 6 or 7 kids and they're all in something, you're never home.
Yes. And I think that's where Ben and I have put our foot down a little bit. We want our kids to be involved and to do things, but there are seasons when they can't all just be in something. And so I know some families that have a rule that you can play 2 sports and only 2 kids are allowed to be in something at a time. Or, you know, you need to figure out what that looks like so that you can still have balance in your life and still be able to prioritize the dinners at home. Or even if it's, hey, every Saturday morning, we're going to be, you know, spending family time together, or whatever it is that works for your family. But if we don't literally sit down and spell it out, it's just going to fly past us. And we're going to look back one day, I'm convinced of it, and say, what in the world? Like, yep, we had lots of fun going to every single sporting event, but did we have that connection with our kids? Did they feel the safe haven of their home? And did they feel like I was available to them and that we could have conversations? And the relational part of it, that you're not just running to and from practices.
Oh gosh,
and
yeah, I remember, you know, I moved from a small town to a bigger town my 11th grade year, which was not great. I was not happy. But anyway, I did get involved in orchestra. I was in the show choir. I was in a Christian singing group, and I just was so busy, so busy. I don't even think I remember being at home or having a conversation with our parents before going off to college at all. I mean, it was just, it was crazy.
I was never home.
Well, yeah, and being the oldest of 6 kids, they were off doing a lot of stuff as far as swim team with the rest of you guys, which took up so much time. Like, swim team mm-hmm. was everything. So between me being busy and them being busy, there wasn't a whole lot of connection sometimes.
It was a lot of busyness.
Yeah. And I was tired. I remember going to college and I'm like, I am never going to sing again. My voice is tired. So, yeah, how do we balance everything that's going on? Our body works, our body parts work together in order to balance us, or we would probably not be able to walk straight, you know? And so each of our parts of our body all work together in order that we can walk with our head held high and not fall over. The same is for having realistic expectations and balance in our mind, too. You know, we have to have an idea of where we're going. I mean, if we fail to plan, we plan to fail, right? As the saying goes. And where do we want to go? What's the big picture? If we don't have the big picture, how are we going to even develop a plan to get there? And to do that with our husbands is very, very important. I know many times I encourage couples, kind of like what you were saying, for what's going on at church and having a plan, a mission statement for our family. I would say to people, you know, I know there's a lot of emotion going on in your home right now, but can you put your emotion, not that it's not important, over to the side, and let's use the logical part of our brain right now. And let's have a family meeting every Friday, or a meeting with just you and your spouse. And you can have a family meeting separate from that. Talking with your spouse every week. How are things going? How is our communication going? Are you feeling like I'm meeting your needs? Are you meeting my needs? How are we doing with our family? I haven't always been good at this, but we have had family meetings. I would like them to be more consistent, but checking in with each other, because life just goes by, right? And all of a sudden, your kids are grown and they're graduated. And did you really ever have a conversation with your spouse about how you wanted things to go?
I think that people are too busy even to have those conversations. And oh,
yeah.
So,
Chuck and I are ships in the night sometimes.
Right.
And he'll say, I told you that. And I'm like, no, you didn't. Vice versa.
Right. But there may be one parent who's feeling like, man, I realize that you absolutely love coaching basketball, but it's not serving our family well in this season. And you have to be able to communicate those things. There are things that might be, you know, loves of ours and things that we're really passionate about that for a season we need to set aside because it's not serving the family well. And because it's taking more time away from us and more time away from the priority, which is to raise our kids up to love the Lord. And so I think that those conversations have to happen on the regular. Like, are we in a place where conversations are able to happen and we can be honest with one another? Okay, yes, I can make a sacrifice for you to coach a team, but do you have to coach three sports or whatever? I mean, some sports last 9 months out of the year. And so you're there mm-hmm. every single night. You're there on the weekends. And I so appreciate the people who are willing to coach because you need them. But
I love that's why Pastor Cody was talking about, you know, hey, if your family is going to be traveling and they're going to be gone, this kind of becomes your family. And maybe you have Bible study on the go or, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it is an opportunity mm-hmm. if you are on like a travel team to, you know, to do Bible studies with the other parents that are there or to.
And connect with your kids while you're, you know, traveling.
Yes, you just have to make it work so that you're not just neglecting it.
But each family has to decide and pray about what it is God is leading you to. You may have to give some things up. I know there's been some things I have had to give up, which I don't love, you know. I'd love to be on praise team. I'd love to do some things, and maybe there'll be a season for that. But, you know, Chuck has kind of been like, you know what, you're already doing so many things. Like, we can't do everything. And yeah. So, you know, what might we have to give up? Do we need to be, like Jenna said, in this, that, or the other? What things could you give up that, even for a time, needs to happen? But if we don't verbalize these things, I think many times resentment builds because there hasn't been a conversation. You're resentful that your husband is going out and coaching, you know, every week or whatever, and you haven't had the conversation, and it just builds tension. So we have to be on the same page.
The other thing it creates, I think, is kids who are unable to sit still. Mm-hmm. And they're just so accustomed to go, go, go. I mean, really, it was probably one of the biggest struggles for me when we were newly married. I still struggle with being still. And I think that it's because we had so many things going on.
Or the fact that Dad walked in the door and you had to act like you were doing something.
Right?
You are not allowed to sit.
Yes, he did not believe in rest. That is definitely, I mean, I still like hear him like, get out of
Dad's
bed.
Here.
You got to get up. Hurry up. But I want to be able to instill in my kids that it's okay to slow down. It's when you're able to regroup and your body repairs and when your mental strains are eliminated and you're able to just pray and listen to the Lord. And there's something to be said about being able to sit still. And that's been a really hard lesson for me. And I think that it's because our family just went. We were gone. I mean,
it can almost
from become, first thing yeah. in the morning until late at night, yeah. and we're going to practices. I mean, I was on swim team, so it was two practices a day.
And you were on water polo, and you were traveling even in
yeah.
high school?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it just...
I didn't even know this. I'm the oldest, like I said, of the six kids, and Jenna's, again, 12 years younger than me. And I'm like, what? You played water polo? You went to California? You went to another country at your age by yourself?
Yeah. I didn't go to another country.
Oh,
I was on a mission trip, and then they dropped me off in San Antonio after the mission trip so that I could go play water polo.
You had a whole other life that I knew.
I did. I had a different life. And she's like, I remember that conversation. You're like, what? I didn't even know that about you. So anyways, yeah, there was just a lot of moving pieces and a lot of busyness. And there was never really just teaching us how to be still. And so I'm still learning.
Yeah, you can be disobedient.
Right, we started the like whole podcast by saying like how bad I am at sitting still and resting.
So we added one more thing to the podcast.
You know, we were talking about having conversations with our spouse. I think that's when we have to invite the Lord into those conversations too, and to see what direction he wants for us and what he wants us to prioritize, because I think that he will spell that out for you. If you're asking for his guidance, like, what should our family be focusing on and what's important? I know a lot of homeschoolers are also really interested in homesteading, and that is a big time commitment. And so that even probably should have been a conversation for us. Like, is this a priority in the scheme of things? It's taught really great lessons. It's taught my kids how to work hard and how to use all these talents and things that God has given us and all of these resources. So I think that the lesson in it all has probably been worth it. But prioritizing the time associated with that, we have sometimes failed at, because it does really easily take over. Mm-hmm. There's a lot to be done. And so I don't want my kids to feel like all we ever did was work, that there was balance even in, like, mm-hmm. having fun and playing. And mm-hmm. so I think it's whatever you're involved in. Like, you can take anything and it gets really overdone. You just can't do it all.
You can't do it all no matter what you're doing. Yeah, whether
you feel like you're in chaos, because you are, because you've created it.
Yeah. That's
really, we have to just recognize, like, I've created chaos. Yeah. I'm the one that has allowed so many of my kids to play sports at the same time, and for my husband to volunteer here, or even if it's good things that you're volunteering for. I mean, there may even be a season where you need to step back from responsibilities you took on in the church.
Yeah.
I mean, that could be just too much.
We've learned this the hard way. Yeah. We're preaching to the choir. So,
yeah.
But you know, when you were saying, Jenna, that what is it that God wants for us and what does it look like for a family with God in the middle of it? We many times already know what we need to be doing. The desire is already on our heart, as we mentioned in our podcast regarding discerning God's voice. We sometimes just ignore it. And like, sometimes we just go until we hit a wall. And then we go, oh yeah, God was kind of putting it on my heart 2 years ago that I should pace myself before I hit the wall.
Is this a warning for me? We're in soccer season right now for a couple of my boys play. But we put our foot down this time and said, you know what? We're having a brand new baby. Soccer season in Ohio equates to cold and rainy, sometimes snowing.
And every it's year not... you do this, I'm like, why? Why do you sit out there in this weather?
The boys love it. They love it.
They do. We don't, but they do.
Yes. But we allowed just the older one to play this season because we said, you know, if it is a cold, yucky, gross day, Dad can still take you and I can stay back with the baby. But if you're both playing and you both have games, which happens almost every time that their games are on the same days and they've got practices at the same time, that forces me to have to go out with the baby. And I didn't want to do that. And so he was a little bit upset at first, but he's 8, you know, it's like, he's not a professional soccer player. He's not going to be super behind if he takes a season off, and it's going to allow our family to prioritize what's really important in this season, which is being at home together and actually enjoying having this little one. So
yeah, for sure. And you know, another reason to be in balance for our kids, when you were talking about being still, we want them to be creative. We want them to be imaginary. We want them to be playing freely so that they can developmentally grow the way God intended us to grow, going barefoot, you know, just running around, right? Being in the sun, you know. And if we're busy, 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 are we able to allow our children to have that freedom?
You know, even on days when Ty just said this recently, he's my 11-year-old. He has soccer on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and he has school on Friday, and now he's got church on Wednesdays, and he's doing the scheduling in his head, not panicking, but a little bit like, Mom, I'm going to have something every single day. I just want to be at home. And he's homeschooled, and so I don't have a ton of sympathy for him, because I'm like, you're here all day, bud. It's fine. It's just in the evenings. We're going to have some stuff going on. But he wants that freedom to go outside and to play airsoft and to be in the back of the field and exploring and, you know, seeing all the tadpoles that are out and whatever. It's just, they have, I think kids just innately have this desire for free time, mm-hmm. so that they can be creative and they can explore and do all of these things. And we almost take that away from them when we allow them to sign up for every single thing.
The thing that I feel we have to remember as well, and I'm speaking to myself, you know, I grew up in a culture or a time, a generation, where you went and you played outside in your neighborhood with your friends, and I wasn't inside on computers or on technology or video games. And that's the hardest transition for me. Even though we're home, probably more than most people because of homeschool, and I just work a few hours a week. But I have to really watch the video games and the media, because even though they're not out in the world, they're out in the world, and I don't want them having some of the messages that they're having. And it still can become a problem with imagination and freedom, even though they're home, because of technology.
Right. That also is a conversation with your husband. Like, it's probably not most people's priorities that their kid's like some great gamer and a YouTuber. So no. I think we just need to, if the priority is like, I have kids who want to be outside and, you know, just playing like we did as kids, then one of the priorities is going to have to be set. And you're going to, the goals and the steps leading up to that might have to be putting some really strong restrictions on technology.
So I've been really trying my best most days to get up at like 4:35 in the morning. I have my prayer time, and then I'm doing notes, and I'm trying to do everything before the boys get up. I'm doing better at staying off the phone if people are trying to get a hold of me during the day.
I apologize if you're listening and I ignore your phone calls, because I do that a lot. Mm-hmm. I'm like, sorry, these are school hours. Yeah. If I talk right now, everybody loses focus.
Oh, yeah. The whole house can just go downhill real quick because Mom's on the phone. We can just sneak away.
Right. They all disappeared. Where'd they go?
What happened?
Yep. Okay. So to kind of wrap up all of that, we can't just throw in the towel when we're overwhelmed. I think it's normal that every single parent out there goes through seasons where they're overwhelmed and they think, man, this is just too much. I don't know how I can even keep up with this. I can't see straight. I'm not sleeping enough. And you might need to take
a break. I don't know what that looks like. Maybe you go away for the weekend. Recharge somehow.
You know, when we talk about doing the mission statement with your husband, that seriously might require at least a night away, or, mm-hmm. you know, just a day where you're in the car driving and you can have that conversation without kids interrupting and the millions of things that are happening. And, you know, you don't want to just squeeze that in, but so take the time to do that. But we can't just throw in the towel. We have to do this. Like, God gave them to us. They're a gift. They're a blessing. And we have to take it by the horns and take care of it.
And sometimes we just feel like a complete mess and out of control. And my heart really is to see people set free. That is what I do for a living. That's what I've been called to do. I've struggled in my own life with different things. And God has really, truly just layer after layer set me free from one thing after another. Again, we're always in process. We're always working on something. We don't want to get stuck in the muck. And so what's done is done. Any regrets or disappointment in the way we thought things should be, but that are not, and how we see how our family we thought would operate or how we wanted it to operate. So whatever we need to do, whether it be go get counseling, again, talk to a pastor or a friend, a counselor. Sometimes I hear people say, well, just get over it. Get over your childhood. Get over your panic attacks. Get over depression. Get over it. Yes, we want to get over it. And if we could, most of us would do that. We'd snap our fingers and we'd get over it. But it's usually a process and something to work through. The Lord wants to set the captives free. He wants to heal the brokenhearted. Motherhood is so hard, especially if you've been sleep deprived, because that just increases all your symptoms of depression, anxiety. Some of you are dealing with postpartum. There's just so many hormones happening, emotions happening. There's a lot to balance. And so we just have to get into that secret place with the Lord, quiet our minds down, spend some time with Him if we can find that time. And sometimes it's, you know, while we're doing dishes. But we can't just get over something. We have to work through it in order to put it behind us. Philippians 3:13 says, "But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." In order to forget what lies behind, I believe we have to first look at the stuff that needs to come up and out of us. We might need to release some things to the Lord, lay them down at the cross, go to Him for some healing and some counsel before we can forget it and put it behind us. And there are times I think we just go, yep, we're done with that. I'm not going to spiral down that hole, and I am just going to be done with this. And sometimes we can just flip the switch, but other times we have to walk it out. There's a process of healing. So we would just encourage you, if you've been, you know, just disappointed and you do feel like giving up, that there is hope and there is a better day coming.
In addition to meeting with a counselor or pastor or a friend, we also offer a workbook that's called A Family of Hope. And that's a workbook that's basically like a really in-depth counseling session where we walk you through this process of healing and some really hard, thought-provoking questions about your past and things that you need to be set free from. It's very in-depth and kind of long, and so it's going to take you a little bit of time to walk through that.
There is a marriage section, too.
Yes.
To kind of work through and think through.
There's a parenting section and a marriage section, and you can buy each section individually, or you can buy it all together as a workbook. That's available on our website, which is thisohiofarmhouse.com. And you're going to click on Cultivating Hearts, and it will take you to that store. Within there, there is also a journal that you can print off, and that is free. That's just like a daily journal where you can sit down with the Lord, meet in the quiet place, and really just kind of plan out your day and set your priorities straight. That could be really a helpful resource for you. So you could print that and, you know, just have one as kind of your guide and use a notebook, or you could print one out for every single day if you want to. But those are all available on the website. So we have to be willing to put the work in and not throw in the towel.
And it might be hard. It might be hard to go backwards, but sometimes we have to go backwards before we can go forward.
All right. We will see you next week on the podcast. Thanks for being here.